Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Amen. Well, something happens when we're away and we're not ministering. We get on overload. So I'll try to respect time this morning because I'm on overload mode. You know, there's a wonderful thing that happens when you get away to be with the Lord. And we went away to be with family. But when we go away to be with family, we're first with our Lord. And He just is everywhere that we go. And when we allow Him to dominate us, He does in a way that He blesses us. So every morning as the cloud was spilling over the mountain on the east side of the house that we were living in, the cloud would come down and settle, and we'd be overlooking the cloud to sunshiny sky where the valley was in the clouds. And I said, Lord, that's what eternal perspective is whatever obscures our view, whatever diminishes our light is beneath our feet, and we learn to live and stand above it. And that's a picture of faith life, that God always has something to illuminate our future. Well, I'm thankful this morning as we return, we're coming back into what many Christians don't know this, what this season is. But if you are a Jew and you are grafted into the Jewish family, that's what Christianity is where we have the other branch on the olive tree. We would recognize that this is the highest Holy Week of our calendar year. And the reason that is we're in a what the Jews call a feast season, the fall feast. Wednesday marks on the calendar the Day of Atonement, which is the most holy day of the year. It happens during harvest in the Northern Hemisphere because Israel's in the Northern Hemisphere. It happens during harvest for us to always be conscious of Jesus' return when He comes to take a harvest with Him. It comes in a harvest season for us to understand God seeing us as His field, as where is His investment in the earth. He's coming to observe what we're doing with our lives. And He comes with a gift in mind called atonement. So Wednesday is the Day of Atonement, which means it's the day God visits His people to reconcile the books and make things right for a fresh start. The time that God comes and says, I've paid the price for you to live in a way that you're free of the grip of the enemy. A time that God comes and He says He wants to focus on something as He draws near to us. He wants us to choose to draw near to Him. Interesting, God picks the busiest time of the year to say, I want you to draw near to me. We would like to go, oh, I'm going to put it off. I'm living in a grace dispensation. God will see to me when it's convenient for me. I want to warn you about something the Jews knew. God does His thing His way all the time. One way we put Him first is to recognize what His thing is and choose to line up with that and choose to say, I'm going to submit to your thing and do it your way so that I can live your way, so that I can have what you intend for me to have. In modern Christianity, things have been changed so much in what's not being taught that people believe that God will hop and skip and jump to our agenda if we pray Him in, or if we do enough penance, or if we do enough begging to get Him to line up with what we want, because people will take God gives us the desires of our heart and kind of twist it to make it God gives us the desires of our heart, but let's not preach the rest. And the rest is, as we give our hearts to Him first, He can then give us the desires of our hearts because He has first place in our heart. He gives us a heart adjustment. Over time, He changes what we value and how we see things because His Word comes and settles in our heart. His Word changes the nature of our desires. So today is God reaching out to us in a season. I wonder how long the season will last, in that I think about Jesus' return when he comes for the rapture of the church. It happens so fast that at the blink of an eye, people will either in or they're out. That's not a very long season. If God's visitation works like that, it means we better be alert when he's drawing near to be ready to draw near. Now, what I believe that means in our heart is to be vigilant and recognize that God has this marvelous quality called, he's the Father of mercies. That means if we are looking, anticipating him, we won't miss out. But we're not to take our eye off the prize, who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prize is not what he gets done in our lives. That's not our prize. That's his harvest. Our prize is the Lord of the harvest, the person who guarantees that our life turns into what he anticipates and what he wants. Think of it this way. When I was a child, my parents rented land. A lot of the land they farmed was rented, and there were several different kinds of arrangements. But it seemed like always, in late summer, early fall, we called them the landlords. That's an old English term for whoever owned the land, and it stuck. The landlords would come to visit. They would come to visit no matter what mom cooked for them to eat. They enjoyed it. They wanted to usually stay in the farmhouse with us as a family. But their first interest wasn't us personally, though they were kind enough to ask. It wasn't about our well-being personally. It was all about their land and their fields. And what did it look like? And what did we think it was going to yield? And how quickly were we going to be in the field? And how much storage was there? And how much did it rain anyway? And seems like in the back part of the field, looks like there's some weeds back in there. And I mean, they were vigilant to look at their investment. Understand the person of our God. He comes periodically to visit his people who are his investment. He sent Jesus to buy us back, to redeem our lives from destruction. Now he comes to visit his people seasonally to see what are we making of the investment of the person of the Lord Jesus living inside of us. Thankfully, God has a view of your field that nobody but you and he can see. But be aware when he looks. He looks with eyes that see clear through, clear into the harvest and the plan, all the way back to when the seed was sown. And he takes account for the whole season. Unlike the landlord that compares your field to the neighbor's field, who might have earth sitting a few feet higher with tile in it that might have been pampered and babied and might be the cream where you're a little downstream in the field that he owns. He's going to consider them equal because there's a fence line is all that's in between. Man is unfair where God considers the whole picture. He sees all the way back to when the seed was sown, said, so there was a flood about graduation time. I understand why there's little beans in the low spots that are still green. I understand where there's ripe grain and the rest. Now get out there and get the ripe, and then you'll have to circle back. Don't we know those things in the natural? God tied so much of his word to agriculture that we should have a greater understanding in this region than almost anybody alive in the earth. We need to connect the dots to what we see going on around us to God using that as a tool for us to understand. He looks in your heart and understands your history, what's come against you. He takes into account anything that's come against you, yet he still has this grand expectation that we will make the most of everything. So much so that he gives us the ability to go back into the field that was flooded and command the harvest to come to the low spots that got wiped out in the past. He wants to restore every bit of life like that. Sometimes we get so busy in our natural life that the flooded out places and the dry places we give up to move on. He doesn't want you to give up on anything. He doesn't give up on you in any way. If we look at the word this morning, I want to begin in 1 Thessalonians 5, which is a letter to a church that has a lot of understanding about times and seasons. I want you to grasp something that is a particular treasure in my heart in understanding times and seasons in the scripture that I believe is very important to the latter day church, the latter days that we're in, for us to have an understanding of how God thinks about things. People say things like, you can never know what God's going to do or when he's going to do it. Well, that's only if you don't know him. The more you get to know him, the more predictable he is. We could predict every year which landlord would come which week. Why, they were like clockwork. They had time. Some of them came early in the season because they wanted to eat sweet corn. Some came a couple weeks later because they'd rather have the tomatoes and go to the... So they wanted fresh tomatoes. Some would come a little bit later because they wanted to go out and pull some soybeans out, shake the dirt off the roots, and count how many beans were on the plant. Like, really? I mean, the end of, not the pods, but how many... Oh, there's 4 to a pod this year. That means... Doesn't that mean it's going to be like 100 bushel an acre? And you're like... No, it doesn't translate into that. And what you try to talk them down from their expectation. Otherwise, you're going to become the bad guy. God doesn't work like that. He works to stir faith in us all the time and call those things that be not as though they were. We had one landowner that was our favorite. Because no matter what was going on, she came to love on the family, to be an extra grandmother, to drive by the farm. She said the same thing every year. The crops look wonderful. I'm sure the harvest will be abundant. And my land isn't the greatest, but it sure is producing. Oh, you loved the one that said something like that. Well, that's full of mercy and full of grace. Understand how God sees us as we're coming into the harvest. He's speaking out over us. The most hope-filled, generous, merciful words, knowing that eventually the Lord of the harvest will come and things will be measured. But until it's measured back again, he's speaking generosity. He's speaking abundance. He's speaking mercy. But he's also speaking something that's more important than all of that, a conviction of accountability to know our lives belong to him and he does expect them to count for something significant. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, he's talking to a church, you have no need that I write unto you about the times and seasons, because you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. He was writing to a church who had understanding from the Old Testament about times and seasons for the New Testament church. That God hasn't changed how he does things. He knows what he's doing. He has a timetable for everything. And he's telling this church, he's exhorting this church to pay attention to what time it is because they know some things. Then he goes on to where I'm not going to expound on today, but I will another day. He goes all into Jesus coming again, and we better be ready. Now we want to wind back the clock just a little bit from Jesus' return so we make wise decisions and do the things that we ought to do so the Lord of the harvest is happy with us. I remember the flurry of activity back in the days that we had to walk the beans by hand, and few people still do that, especially the outside rows. I catch them doing it and think, oh, they're out there remembering the old days. And you see the little kids looking like, oh, can we be done with this, please? And I remember that. But whenever somebody call and say, we're flying in from Boston, or we're coming in for Burbank, or we're coming in, and you knew it was going to happen. So what do? You go out to the fields and you inspect. We have the ability to do the same. And the Lord of the harvest has the hope and desire that we'll respect him that much. And that we will be unlike the world who doesn't really care, who doesn't really believe, who's duped into believing that whatever comes belongs to man rather than acknowledging the harvest belongs to the Lord. So we think differently. So we respect the Lord. In one way, Sunday morning is meant to help us be ready for his return at any time. But more important than Sunday morning, it's what we do when we're communicating to the Lord every day that makes us ready. Now, this church has an understanding of God's timing because he's starting out talking to them about this because he knows that the church will identify God does things in seasons. You may choose today to respond to one degree or another, or not even respond to this word, but God has seasons that he does things where we line up with what he wants and it seems like life gets better and easier. I've learned in those seasons when we line up with what God is doing, it will bode well with us, where we can work the whole rest of the year to try to achieve what God was doing yesterday, and we experienced 364 days of difficulty because we weren't there to meet with God when it was his agenda to talk to us about the harvest and about the future. A unique thing that happens in the season of harvest, and even our farmers today do, they gauge next year as they're rolling over the fields getting the harvest. If there's a stone in the way, they don't just throw it aside to get it out of the way of the harvest. They carry it to the end of the field to get it out of the field because next year there will be a sowing. Early on in the harvest, they're identifying what varieties will they have more seed that they want to buy for next year, and which ones are they going to say, I don't believe I'll do that again. Understand the attitude of an awesome God who we are to have a godly fear of, and he looks to our lives to determine what kind of seed will he give us to sow based on what kind of harvest we brought forward with it when he gave it to us the last time. Now, you think about that. The fall feasts are significant in the scripture in that they set the tone for the whole year to come. I want you to understand that what we're doing spiritually is a season that the devil will so come against. Lucinda and I have learned through the years, we didn't know how we were learning this. The Holy Spirit was teaching us. We didn't know. I didn't understand the significance of the fall feasts. We knew about them. We knew a little bit about them. We'd read about them and think, isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? There's so many lessons we can learn. And we started learning them. But the Holy Spirit became our teacher in that we knew every time September came around, we needed to draw near to the Lord. Every time October came around, there would be shift and change in life that we would make adjustments. We just thought, well, this is our anniversary of God dealing with us. This church was formative in September and launched October 3rd. And it just, we thought it was just in our history, not knowing that that's God's timetable for new beginnings. It's ironic that when we want to be so busy with the harvest that God is focused on the new beginning. Why? Well, we're already going to get what we're going to get about from yesterday's new beginning. And he's fresh and new and starting with the next new beginning. What is that? That's hope for us. That's excitement for us. That's the ability to look over our failures and over our shortcomings and over our weeds and say, but God is clearing the field, clearing the deck, and there's going to be something new, and it's going to be better, and I have a new opportunity to express my faith. I have a new opportunity to sow better seed or the right kind of seed. I have more faith in my heart to speak over this field, what it's going to produce. Because our words change everything. God gave us that power and ability. Now, there are some things that come against this season that the enemy tries to do. This is the 13th was the Sabbath of returning. Last Sunday was a Sabbath of returning, or it's when we would see it on our calendar, the Jews, the 13th. The Sabbath of returning means that there was a returning unto the Lord. It also, in my mind, gives us a clue about Jesus' return. there's going to be a season that God moves on his people to come back to him, to let him renew and refresh us. I want you to understand that needs to be happening in our lives. Where you take a break at some point and say, God, I'm coming back to you to focus entirely on you for a little season. God doesn't say the whole year we've got to be so intense that we drop everything in life and put everything on hold just only. That's not how we honor the Lord, by putting him first. But when he asks for a season, he's doing it because he is drawing near. And he wants us to draw near because he has come. When those landlords would come, we had a lot of agendas. We just got up earlier and worked later to accomplish them. But when landlady got up, she got breakfast on a tray. She probably ate something better than we ate because mom had time. You know, why? You cater to the important rank that has a bearing on your future. We want to honor the Lord that way. Now, atonement means that we become fully reconciled and aligned with God and his agenda. You cannot be fully aligned with God without giving your life to his agenda. He tells us, he lets us know in the Day of Atonement that it's placed right at the beginning, the peak of the beginning of harvest. Where if you walked by a farmer in church today, you heard their engines revving, hoping that pastor will not preach too long, even though it's Sunday. We know he's a man of mercy. He won't be mad that we're harvesting. And you know that there is this great burning compulsion to go get the crops in before the weather changes. How much more God feels that way about you and about me. He's so concerned, so desiring for us to forever be with him. And not just you, but you represent the sower of the seed that will win so many more into his harvest. He's looking at you and thinking about the next generation. He's looking at you and thinking about you being a sower of all things God and all things good, so that there can be a harvest from your life that he says, well done. And there's no compare to what we get in heaven for being a part of harvest. So much so that Jesus taught on this, and he said, even if you come into the fields late and you're the last worker in, you're going to get an equal share of what God considers harvest for that generation. That gives us hope and excitement that he holds out until the very end, because he's that merciful. He wants us in on what will bring about the most good for all eternity. Now, ignorance can get in our way, not knowing the word. We have to deal with ignorance to come in line with God's best. I've listed what I think are the top seven things. Neglect, just neglecting the truth that we know. Getting too busy with life. Our intellect can get in the way where we try to figure everything out. Doesn't mean you don't use your head, but you don't put your head above God. You don't put your head above God's word. You let God reason with you instead of you reasoning with him. That's why he says, I'm drawing near. Do you want to draw near to me? He gives us the opportunity to reason with him, but when we don't want to, he lets us contend with him later. Why? He comes to read. He's working a deal for next year, Ryan. He said, I know you're busy. I know you're going to get the harvest for me. I know you're responsible, but let's talk about next year. Let's talk about next year in January, God. He said, no, let's line it up now. Why? We make an investment. The farmer might pay cash rent. He might have to buy the seed. Well, there's a season to everything, and they all kind of work together and flow together, and we learn that God operates strategically the same way. Money. Money can become tainted when it becomes our priority over what the Lord wants in a season. Problems in general, distractions, and the seventh one, which could be the first one, but I put the seventh one, just laziness. I'm tired. God, I feel like I've done enough this week. I never heard mom and daddy say that to landlord. I never heard them say, I'm not doing that. Or we'll talk about it later. They wanted to talk, you talked about it. They wanted to talk about, they think there's a weed in the back of the field. We would ride out in the pickup truck and dad would say, go get them, boys. And we'd go to the back of the field, work, and he'd come walking back there just to make sure we got him. Like that landlord just might walk to the back fence row. What do we know about the Lord? He's thorough in his doing. Because our lives represent people that he has in mind to bring into the kingdom, not just to us, but a harvest that he intends for us to produce for him, that matters to him, that might be nameless to you, but every person has a name to him, and he intends to have them. Now, this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, because God is moving to restore us, his people, to his leadership. Because we will thrive when we submit to Jesus as Lord, we thrive. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. So when we let the truth slip, he calls us back into remembrance. What the Day of Atonement is meant to do is call us back into a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us and that he's calling us back to enjoy the fullness of it and not just part of it. That he recognizes in his mercy this world, the God of this world, the distractions of this world, the spirits that are in this world will come against you and try to separate you from being a part of God's harvest, being a worker in the harvest field. And God is saying, I want to restore you back. I want to pull you back. Pay attention to what I'm doing. This is the season to come back to me. So we say, well, I don't think I'm really separate from the Lord. If you're not perceiving the work of the enemy to separate you, God help you, because you're so separated you don't know you're gone. See, God put the season in motion because he knows we need it. He didn't put it there because it's some elective that we can choose to say, well, I'm not feeling it this year. I've been close to the Lord. I've only missed 10 Sundays this year. To do with missing 10 Sundays or being here, all of them, it has to do with the work of the heart. Am I fully devoted to Jesus as Lord? And he knows in a year's cycle, probably not. So he said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come back around and make things right. I'm giving you a warning. I'm coming to visit. I want the visit to go well. I want to renew the contract. I want you to stay in covenant. I want to smile when I see you. I want you to be happy when I come and not a nervous wreck when I drive in the driveway. I want you to be happy when we go out to examine your life. What's he getting us ready for? Someday there will be a reckoning. We should be used to what that feels like and know how to make adjustments. So when Jesus comes back to rapture the church, we're ready. There won't be anybody ready that doesn't understand how to operate in the time of atonement. That's what gets us ready. I'm not qualified to predict Jesus' return. The Bible says nobody is. But I have my own ideas about it. God is so merciful and so loving that I believe he would let us experience a cycle of atonement and say, now's the moment the most of them are ready. Let's get them now. Why? He wants to come when we're most prepared. It says no man will know the day or the hour. But there is a season God moves in. I want you to understand that the earth has come into a harvest season, but the church should recognize at this time of the year, it's time to make sure we're right with the Master. Why? If he were going to think the way I think the Word says he might think, he'd come shortly after the Day of Atonement any given year, because he thinks the most people will be ready for him. Why? He doesn't want to catch us off guard. That's why he says we're supposed to understand times and seasons. He doesn't want us ignorant and oblivious so he can come when we're the least ready. Yet he warns in the scripture he's going to come when many are the least ready. Why? They don't discern the times or seasons. They don't regard God's calendar. They regard their own life and want God to fit into their own life instead of fitting their life into his calendar and his plan. We want to be wise. Now, God strategically visits his investments in the earth. This is Isaiah chapter 55. I want to share about five verses from there that give us a picture of what this season is about. It says, we must seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, it's true, we can call on Jesus to become our Savior anytime we want to. But when we're going to commune with him as Lord, recognize he's seated in heavenly places. When God chooses to make visitation on his people and inspect his church and inspect our lives and look into our hearts, we want to respond to his calendar and say, here I am, check me out. Now, before I invite him to check me out, I get check ready. There's just a certain checklist we know the Holy Spirit will help us to make sure that we're living the way that we're supposed to be living. See, the world diminishes that so much because the world's gotten into the church has diminished that. Well, if you're saved, you're saved. That's true. You'll go to heaven, I believe. But it doesn't say that we'll go in the rapture unless we're ready. Jesus taught that. He wouldn't tell us to be ready if he didn't want us to understand what ready looked like. Or how to respond. Now, you must seek the Lord while he may be found, and you must call on him while he is near. This is a season of his nearness. This is a season where the Holy Spirit, who is God with us, is drawing near to you. Not because he wants to beat on us. He draws near to us because he's offering a yoke and a burden that is God's plan for our life individually. Jesus said to link up with him, to join up with him, because his yoke was easy and his burden was light. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to make things more difficult. He comes and he offers the goodness and mercy of God to cause us to line up with his plan and let him lead us instead of us trying to direct him. See, when we miss this opportunity, we become the lone mule pulling the weight meant for two, and one of the two need be supernatural to pull the weight. No wonder we get off track. Think about the poor mule with the yoke on his neck that's heavier on one side than the other because there's meant to be one called alongside to help to even out the load, and how there is a burden on us when we do things our way in our timing without his yoking together with us. He comes in this season to make us at one with him again. And the Holy Spirit is the person, is the yoke fellow wanting to help us. He allows us to have our free will, but he says, let me be the one to connect with you, and you'll know when your free will is pulling the wrong direction. When the Holy Spirit's pulling this way and I go like this, I can feel him not going there. And I don't have to say, God, if it's your will, I already know that ain't his will. He's pulling me this way. I want to go in there. He's pulling me this way. And we can learn that as baby Christians. There's a period in our lives that is to happen every year that every young mule will experience. He gets tethered to the one who knows some stuff. The Holy Spirit is the one that knows all things. He's been on your path and gone before you. And he knows exactly where his footsteps are going to take you in the right direction. We can't afford our own path. He redeems our life from destruction. So every year about this time, he says, let's get back on track. Let's get back where we ought to go. And it, on our part, requires an invitation. Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. I want you to dominate me instead of me bossing you around. What is it? The young mule gets a little too sassy. I don't know if you've ever seen, my great-grandparents had mules in Kentucky. The old one knows how to deal with the young one. The young one pulls a little bit too much. That old one goes, and jerks that young one. You hear his neck pop and his head brace. And it's like the old one saying, come on, Dumbo. We are going this way. This is what we're doing, or we'll both get a beating. Why, that old one knows if he gets too out of line, he's going to get blamed for the young one going out of line. Don't you know the Holy Spirit ain't going to let that happen? So once in a while, when we don't listen for the atonement, we feel like we're getting the slack jerked out of our tail a little bit. What do we do? Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what went wrong. I just know something did, and I yield to you for what is right. And I never saw the old mule. I explained to the young mule what just happened. The young mule came into a knowing through his obedience of what to not do the next time. We learn the same way. Now, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, because he waits for you. See, the Lord comes. We sang that this morning. I always find it remarkable and wonderful when things line up. I think that's just terrific how the Holy Spirit does that. So thank you for that. He waits for us to choose to yoke up with him or do our own thing. He comes, he's put alongside saying, I got one better, I got one easier. You want to hook up with me, or you want to keep going the way you're going? Now, you may not know this, but his way's always better. I just let you know right up front, if he makes that offer to you and he's making that offer to you, you want to draw near to him. It doesn't happen by stepping back. And he's telling us here, you got to step out of the sinful choices, out of the selfish choices, out of the wicked choices, and say, I'm going to hook up with you. See, people today want to hook up with the Lord in all of their bad choices. He waits just beyond them where repentance is a reality. We say, I'll repent of that. And he says, fine, let that fall off. Come yoke up with me. Well, he's the Holy Spirit. He can't yoke up with anything less than holy. And our holiness comes from Jesus. Not our performance, but our relationship with him. So when we repent, we're saying, now I'm qualified because Jesus qualified me to walk as one with the Holy Spirit. And whether you know it or not, you need that at least once a year. Thank you for that, Tiffany. That's the best news of the day. We need that once a year at least. And he's letting us know, whether you think you need this vitamin pill or booster shot or whatever you want to, you need it now. It's kind of like the iron shot comes at the critical time for the little piggies, and they don't like it. They don't know they're not going to like it, but they don't know what hit them till it's done, and it makes them thrive. There's something God has planned in our lives that makes us thrive when we get it in his timing. Now, he goes on to say, and he will have mercy upon him. Why? When we get out of step with him, he wants to have mercy on us. But he has mercy on us when we line back up with him, not before, but when we do it. We say, I choose you, I repent. So this repentance word today, yeah, if you're in church today, I'll just tell you, because of the season it is, it's repentance season. Just to recognize it, here's what we have to do. Recognize maybe we've fallen short somewhere, and he wants to help us not fall short. There, that's the mildest way I can say that. All right, now. And he will have mercy upon him and return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In other words, he forgives that as far as east is from the west, is what Scripture says. And he goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, you will never figure out God's best. It will not come to you through your brain. It will not come to you through all your right decisions. Even if you make multitude of right decisions, he's got one better than you got. I'm glad of that. When I think I'm wise, I recognize I'm not really. All right. Now, he is, though. And my ways are not, your ways are not my ways. What's that say? Your best is not going to line up with what God has in mind. He's got something better figured out. Many people today don't believe that. They've become so soulish that they're led by their own thinking, and so educated they value their education more than the personality of God and the person of God. We as the church recognize that there is a wisdom higher than all of the wisdom of the earth, and it's the wisdom of the God who created all of the earth, who says, I know how everything's supposed to work together for your good. Let me help you turn it toward your good. Let me help you recognize the greater one that lives in you is making you well able to exceedingly and abundantly live above anything the enemy can do. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's giving us the ability to line up with his ways and thoughts without us understanding everything. I've learned a marvelous thing about the Lord through the many years of studying the Word. He likes to give us an experience and then let us dig in the Word to find where is that in the Bible. He likes to move in our life to bless us and get the blessing to us so that we are excited to find out how did that happen. We're trained in the world, you got to do everything right and maybe something good will happen. God says, no, trust me, something good will happen, and then you'll try to figure it out with your little head and you won't get very far. And you'll stop back and say, I don't exactly know how that happened. I just know that was a God thing right there. What does the season of atonement do? It increases the God things about you. The things that you know happen because of Him, happen because He loves you so much, and you still can't get your arms exactly around it. You just know somehow He has gone before you to make your way perfect, and you happened to somehow stumble on to some little piece of that perfect, and we step back and go, wow, wasn't that wonderful? He wants us to have those wow moments, but then He wants us to be wowed by the person instead of the thing in the moment, and go back and say, you did that for me. That's what atonement is a picture of. We know when we've experienced it, when we step back from it a little ways and we can go, oh, you did that for me. That's proof of walking in that anointing. Now, God has a way of activating every new season. I'm announcing a new season. I can prophetically speak into your new season. Why, there's an anointing in the church today to speak out over your future. I would encourage you to tap into that, because when God brings us at one with Him, He wants His word to be our word. He wants us to line up with covenant promise in the here and now for you individually as a person right where you are right now. Now, verse 10, for as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, God's saying, let this be a picture, an illustration to you, and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, God's got a word for this season, for you, personally, that you need to hear. It might be a word that when you hear it, you think, well, I don't know that I need that. Why is He telling me that? Act on the word of the Lord, and you'll see something supernatural come. Why? He's not limited to what we're thinking. He's wanting to surpass what we're thinking. Remember, He just said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Let me bypass your head. Be my yoke fellow. Let me direct your life. Now, so shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Notice when we're at one with God, He's doing His thing. Yet it suggests openly we get the harvest here for God doing His thing through us. His thoughts and His ways become more important to us than our thoughts and our ways. Now, you want a battle? That's a greater battle than your battle against the enemy, the devil. Jesus already won the battle against the enemy. You've got to win the battle against your own will, your own ideas, your own ideas of accomplishment. Say, now, Lord, you got something better than what I'm thinking, and what I'm thinking is pretty good, but what you're thinking is better than this. I believe I want to tap into what you're thinking. And sometimes He doesn't let you know what He's thinking. He just says, I'm going to give you seed to what I'm thinking, and you sow the seed and you get the harvest, then you'll figure out what was on my mind. See, we want to figure God out. He doesn't let us just do that. He just wants us to trust Him and do what He says. Now, many people never obey God at that level of trusting Him and having the experience and then learning what just happened. That's His favorite way to teach us. Let me do you something good, then you can ask me questions. We're programmed to think we got to ask 1,000 questions, and maybe it'll lead to something good. He's saying, oh no, that's not how I operate. You line up with me, you line up with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to lead and guide you into all truth, and I'm going to show you things to come. And when you turn your head the wrong direction, I'm going to pop it in the right direction, and you're going to end up here, and you're going to say, how did that happen to me? And then you're going to remember, oh, I remember those moments of my stubbornness and inability to obey, and the Holy Spirit kept prompting me, and I listened. And when I listened, I ended up in this situation where God blessed me, and I just don't even know. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this opportunity came my way. Just how? The Holy Spirit knows. See, we need to stop acting that way. Say, I know how I got here. Holy Spirit got me here. I know how I got here. I gave in a little bit more to God. Instead of telling him what to do, I let him pull me in the right direction. And I learned I didn't need every verbal cue. I needed to go with inward intuition. When the yoke started pulling, I paid attention to the Holy Spirit who was in the yoke. Said, I'm going with you, God. I'm going with you, God. And look where I ended up. Look what happened to me. See, when we get into reasoning or we let anything get in our way, we get pulled off track. He wants to put us back on track. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. He's got a word. It shall not return unto me void. This is the voice of God. This is the person of God speaking. But it shall accomplish that which I please. We get blessed when we're doing what he pleases. That's the whole purpose of being at one with God. That's where our peace is in the middle of turmoil. And I'm going to line up with God's will, and everything's going to end up not just all right. I'm going to be better off. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Notice God doesn't give us the right to demand what we want. He says, I have pre-authorized what I want. And if you line up with the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you in my ways. And as things happen to you, your mind will be renewed to the thoughts of God. The Word says we're to renew our mind according to the Word. What happens is many times we have an experience. This is how he wants us to learn. We have an experience of the goodness of God. Then we look back and learn the lessons after we got the A on the test. We look back after we got the B and said, next time I'm getting an A. But we get something from the Lord, and we look back and we're able to say, I just learned something valuable. And we didn't know. We sometimes look at these seasons as this is a test from God to disqualify me. He never allows you to be tested to be disqualified. When the enemy comes in to test you through your will or temptation, God is always moving to affirm you and bless you to pass the test and not just pass it with a D minus either. But to pass it with an A. Amen. And be able to stand up and say, I got it right this time. I don't know if you ever took a test a second time. I've had a few of those in my life. I didn't like it the first time. I didn't like it any better the second time until the grade came back. And if the teacher said, you get the highest of the two, oh, honey, stay out of my way. And you know what the teachers a lot of times did, because I think they felt so sad for us. And the Holy Spirit kind of does this too. He gives you the answers to the test if you read the book. He says it's open book. And if you've been there and you've been looking and you don't have it all locked up in here, you go, wait a minute. I know it's here somewhere. And you still get the A. Don't you love the yoke fellow of the Holy Spirit? Stand to your feet this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you in this house that we're a part of your divine plan. And you call this house to order. With your atoning work, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, you didn't halfway restore us. You didn't leave anybody out. You invite us all to be a part of the fullness of learning what it means to have our life hid with Christ in God. Our Holy Spirit, thank you that in this season, we as the people of God draw near to the Lord. We become sensitive. We become open. We become more listeners than we are talkers. We become aware of your thoughts and ideas and intentions, and we yield ourselves to line up with those things even when we don't know what they are. Jesus, we make you our Lord yet again. We don't only want you as Savior. We desire you to be our Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you hear the outcry of faith from every heart of every person here who's ready to draw near. To draw near means we repent and we leave behind the unproductive works and fruit of darkness. of sin, of discouragement, of despair, of laziness, of other gods, of anything that's gotten in the way. And we recognize this is the season you are giving us an opportunity to be done with that and walk in newness of Zoe life. Heavenly Father, thank you. Your idea of life is greater than ours. You lead and guide us into that truth, and you'll show us glorious things to come. Heavenly Father, we perceive that this is a preparation for the great end time harvest as Jesus will return to take away his church. Help us be ready for that moment by learning to respond in this moment. Heavenly Father, we lay down our worldly agenda and all of the demands on our time to honor you in this busy season. As we go into the fields in the natural to reap, we call you the God of harvest. We are workers, laborers in your fields, and we think of your work, your fields first as our priority, not what we think is more important. Lord, help us walk in great mercy in this season to receive the fullness of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.